Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. Welcome back. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about religion, specifically young nuns. Joining a convent is an unlikely choice for a young woman in New Jersey in 2019, but a new investigation from NJ Advanced Media tells the stories of millennial women who did just that. In an article titled Changing Habits, reporters Cassidy Grom and Amanda Hoover look into the lives of young women in Jersey who chose to be nuns and have given up the material wealth and hyper-connected digital world that shapes modern life. Today, only about 1% of nuns in the United States are under the age of 40. Changing Habits is up now at NJ.com, and Cassidy and Amanda are in studio. Welcome to All of It.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So Cassidy, your tweet on your Twitter page, it was very funny. It said, Cassidy, my friends in January, hey, want to do something? Me, I can't. I'm going to interview some nuns. My friends in March, hey, let's hang out. Me, sorry, hanging with nuns. My friends today, you with the nuns again? Me, OMG, no, it finally got published. What led you guys to the story?
Yeah, so I've always had an interest in religion, and my brother actually is a missionary. He's going to be in Malaysia. But for him, life will seem a little bit more normal than what some people experience. So my brother, you know, he's married, he has a job in Malaysia, no big deal. But these young women, they're choosing never to get married, not to have a family, and instead dedicate their lives fully to God. So I was just interested in why they chose to do that.
How about for you?
Yeah, it was Cassidy's idea, and I got brought on board because we had a lot of ground to cover in New Jersey trying to get people all over the state. But personally, I'm very interested in young women, young millennial women, and how their lives are changing, how opportunities have changed. And for me, an interest in this story was, you know, nowadays women can do anything, really. So there's still these women that are going back and choosing, you know, one of the first ways that they could have this life without needing marriage or support of a man.
So you report fewer than 1% of the remaining sisters are younger than 40, and that number is shrinking. One projection estimates that by the year 2043, there will be fewer than 1,000 sisters left in the U.S. From your reporting, what has been contributing to that decline?
I think a lot of it is, in general, Americans don't feel the need to be religious. We know that fewer and fewer are affiliating with any sort of religion. So that's part of it. And then it's also kind of a loop, because as there's less nuns, less people interact with them, see them in school, see them in different contexts, and they don't even think about it. So it's less one-on-one interaction that makes people even think about becoming a nun or considering it.
So when you met these young women who wanted to become nuns, Amanda, what reasons did they give?
The main reason they gave is just that they felt this call to God, is what all of them really said. But then there were other reasons that came about. You know, they were looking for something that was fulfilling, looking for something that would take them out of all the noise of the modern world. A lot of them talked about how they felt unfulfilled, you know, or even addicted to their phones, and many of them give up that interaction. They felt like they were having more meaningful contact with their family and friends when they were writing letters, making calls, having just visits instead of all these kind of superficial interactions. But really, it stems from that wanting to have this call to God, which is the age-old reason that many women have cited for hundreds of years.
But that's also interesting that for them, the outgrowth of it, which was a benefit to their life, instead of us thinking like, oh, these things are taking away, was the sense of connectedness to their families because they're not doing it through technology and electronics. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, definitely. That was, you know, a question I kept having, like, aren't you giving up so much? Aren't you missing out on travel, on career, family, kids? And they really felt like they felt as fulfilled as people who have those things. Like, for them, they get more than they give up, by far, is kind of the overarching feedback that I got. Even though they did mention, you know, this is a hard job. It's a hard life. There's a lot of, they live in poverty, you know, they have long hours. They deal with lots of people in serious need. And that can be heartbreaking, seeing that day in, day out.
My guests are Amanda Hoover and Cassidy Grom. They are reporters for NJ.com. Their new piece is called Changing Habits, looking at young millennials who choose to be nuns. So, Cassidy, it was difficult to find people, from what I understand. How did you go about finding women for this piece?
Yeah, so like you said, there's fewer than 1% are under the age of 40. Mm-hmm. And there's not a ton of convents and monasteries around anymore. Some are closing. So we shot off emails to every diocese in New Jersey and said, hey, do you have anyone who is, you know, maybe 20 or 30? And a lot of them got back to us and said, no, we haven't had any in a long time. Or some people come and try being a nun for a few years and then they leave when they realize it's not for them. But we did have a few get back to us. And then Amanda and I kind of like split up and went out to meet these young women.
Were you nervous at all going out to meet them?
I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure what to ask. I didn't grow up Catholic. And so the whole world is almost like a very niche subject.
Yeah, I would think, you know, if I went out, I would be so afraid that I would offend somebody, especially someone who's made such a very serious decision. I'm curious what was like for you, Amanda, interviewing these young women.
Yeah, the first ones that I met, actually, I went to the Monasterian Summit where they are cloistered, so they never leave unless there's a medical emergency. And I actually sat on the other side of this like waist-high gate.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what their family does as well. When they come to visit, they can hug over the gate, but that's where you sit and visit. So going into that setting, I was like, this is very different than anything I've ever done as a reporter. But it was immediately clear like how close they all were to each other, how joyful they were, and how welcoming and willing they were to share their stories.
So how cloistered were they at this particular...
They never leave the grounds.
Wow.
Unless there's a medical emergency or a doctor's appointment, I guess, regular kind of stuff. But they have like a yard out back, and they had actually been telling me that it had been just after that big November snowstorm that they had been sledding outside in their yard. They have a dog out there, but they don't leave those grounds.
So what is their daily routine?
It's mostly prayer, a lot of that. You know, they have the chores of keeping up the monastery, but they... you know, scheduled to pray the rosary they used to do like one sister would take it on for an hour every day. Now they don't have enough, which isn't the thing they were telling me. Mm. They have 17 and only five are really like millennial age. The other ones are all older, so they can't do as much as they once could. And they're hoping to get more. And they do have, one of the women there was 23. So they do have like young people. They had a lot of interest from people and like lots of visitors, they were saying.
My guests are Cassidy Graham and Amanda Hoover. The reporters for NJ.com. We're talking about their piece, Changing Habits, about millennial-aged nuns. Cassidy, many of the women you spoke to are working through a process called discernment. What does discernment process look like?
Yeah, honestly, I would say it's pretty similar to what a lot of people go through. You know, when you're young or going through college, you're trying to think through what kind of career you want. The difference is these women, a lot of it incorporates just a lot of prayer. And for them, once they start feeling that urge, that call, that they're being called to something different, what they would call a vocation. So for them, a vocation is a career, of course, but also something like if you're choosing to be married and have a family, or if you're choosing religious life. So once they kind of feel the pull towards religious life, they'll begin visiting different monasteries and convents to get a feel of what they're like, what the sisters there are like. One woman who called herself a nun recruiter compared it to visiting different colleges when you're in high school. You know, like you just want to see what they offer and see how you fit into the culture there. And once you choose a convent or monastery, there's about 5 to 7 years of training where you learn about the sisters and what they care about, and you kind of integrate yourself into their community, hoping that you guys are a mutual fit.
You mentioned you ran across a term called a nun run. What's a nun run?
So some of the women that we spoke to had done this. They're pretty much, sometimes it's the women go on like a road trip to several convents and monasteries and stay there for a few days. Sometimes it's just they're coming to one and they really stay there, live amongst the sisters and see if they find a fit. And it really seemed every sister that I spoke to that was, you know, had taken temporary vows or maybe their final vows, they said that they knew immediately when they were at the right one. And that was where they were today. But they, you know, some of them a lot of them found them from the internet, like planned like a little road trip around to different ones until they found the community that was the best fit for them.
You wrote in your piece, you wrote this interesting line that was, isn't becoming a nun in 2019 one of the most radical things that you can do? Do these women see it that way?
No, a lot of them just feel like it's an outpouring of what they were growing up. You know, some of them became increasingly religious, increasingly caring about the Catholic Church as well as their relationship with God. And for them, it just feels like the next step. One nun, Anna, said to me, you know, I have older brothers, one's engaged, one's married and having a kid. And she said, for me, this is the next step. They don't see it as something crazy or radical. They just feel like they're doing what they're called to do.
Was there any commonality in terms of race, socioeconomics, any commonality about the women?
Some of them, I mean, they were from all over the world, really. Mm-hmm. There were some from Australia, some from England, from the Midwest, Canada, California. They were mostly college educated, mm-hmm. or all were college educated that I spoke to, at least. So that is common. And that's what most orders want. They want you to have lived your life a bit, have mm-hmm. a college education. So even though they come from all over, I would say that that's a common thread.
Did you talk to them about feminism at all? Did any of them mention feminism?
Not that word.
Okay.
but I think that there's some talk about how they view the different scandals going on in the Catholic Church, and mm-hmm. they are as well, you know, very, they don't look at it as like, we can't do other things because we're women. Like, that doesn't play into it. Many of them were nurses before, lawyers, actresses, all kinds of different things. So they lived in these fields where sometimes mm-hmm. they're dominated by men and did live under that. But I think that the feminism thing was a bit separate because it's such a religious decision for a lot of them.
There are orders that are dedicated specifically to public service, and you spoke with Sister, is it Kiara?
Yeah, Amanda is the one with mm-hmm. Kiara.
So what kind of work does she do? She's a Franciscan sister living in a convent in Atlantic City, correct?
Yeah, they work with the poor. There's a lot of, they do different Bible studies. I was there one morning when they had dozens of people coming in, and they feed them. They do that a few times a week. They pray for them. They talk to them. That's a lot of their time.
Was there anything that surprised you in reporting this, Cassie, that you did not see that coming?
I think initially I was surprised with how relatable they were. You know, a lot of times I felt like I was having a conversation with my best friend. They understood the world. It's not that they were trying to separate themselves from it. You know, they're up to date even on different pop culture references. One young woman, Anna, she's 26. The first question out of her mouth was, who is your audience? She said, you know, are they religious? Are they going to know the terms I'm talking about? Or should I make sure I explain everything? So she's very, very aware of how she's perceived in the world and how she wants to communicate and explain her life. So I was really impressed by just like their attention to detail when they're communicating with people who may not understand.
Sound media savvy.
Yeah.
Was there anything that surprised you, Amanda?
I think just how happy they were. Like,
I know you think of, I'm giving up phones, I'm giving up sex, I'm giving up relating to my family and being with my family. It just seems like a lot to give up.
Yeah, and I as well did not grow up Catholic. And there is that kind of stereotype of like the Catholic school teacher, very stern, very strict. And I just did not get that vibe at all. They loved to chat. They seemed very happy to be there with each other. And I was even thinking, you guys spend so much time together all day. Like, you must be bickering at some points. But they were just like, they seemed to really care for each other and be so joyful.
What's been the response to this story? I'm interested, either from people, religious folks, or from just your readers.
I had a lot of people reach out to me and say, oh, that explains it. You know, at one point we mentioned there's less nuns in schools. A lot of people grew up in Catholic schools, and now they're seeing less nuns out in the community, and they didn't really know quite what was happening. But when we explained the decline and that there's not as many young women joining, therefore, like, there's less nuns, people said, you know, it seemed like a good explanatory piece for a lot of people.
Oh, interesting. Sort of like, now I understand. Yeah. How about for you, Amanda, feedback?
Pretty similar. Yeah. I actually had feedback from, it was surprising, like a lot of older Catholics who I think just loved, like they had these relationships with young women mm-hmm. Who were sisters back 60 years ago, but they really felt like there was something similar that they were seeing again in these young women.
The name of the piece is Changing Habits. It's on NJ.com. It was written by Amanda Hoover and Cassidy Grom. Ladies, thanks for sharing your reporting.
Thank you.
After the break, a conversation about a free production of Theater Wars' Antigone in Ferguson. It's being staged in Brooklyn. We'll tell you more and hear from one of its stars, public advocate Jumaane Williams, after a quick break. This is All of It.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.